You're listening to the Liberty Grace Church Sermon Podcast. For more information, visit libertygrace.ca.
Well, it finally happened. The people of Israel were in exile. I don't know if you can imagine how devastating that would have been. Can you imagine being carted away from your home and knowing that Toronto had been burned to the ground, and going to a foreign nation and everything that you knew back home had been destroyed? The only thing that made it worse is that God had said that this would be his land forever. In Deuteronomy 28, God had said, he'd given them a series of blessings and curses, and he said this. One of the curses here, you shall father sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, but they shall go into captivity. So for years, God had blessed Israel. For years, God had just given them far better than they deserved. But the time had come when God could put up with their evil no more. In 587 BC, the Babylonians came and completely devastated Jerusalem. And they left the poor behind. They took everybody else. They left the poor behind. And they carted everybody else off to Babylon. And their goal was in Babylon, basically they said, okay, the poor people behind, they're going to be no problem. Our goal for the rest of the people is that they will assimilate into Babylonian culture. They will become one of us. And problem solved, no more Jewish people, no more enemy, just Babylonian people. How would you respond if you were one of these people? Would you dig in and fight? Would you be one of these people that would say, I am Jewish. I serve God and God alone. I am not going to become Babylonian. Or would you blend into a culture that's hostile? Would you be one of these people who would just say, you know what, we're in Babylon now? When in Babylon, may as well act like a Babylonian. We're here today. The reason I'm asking this question is, you know, there's dissimilarity and similarity. We live in Canada. I'm so glad we're in Canada. I love Canada. It's got its faults, but I just love being here. I think it's a great country. I don't like winter. You know, if the government could do something about the weather, I'm not talking about global warming, but I don't know if the Turks and Caicos thing, I kind of like that thing, if that could work out where we go. But otherwise, Canada's an amazing country. It really is. But, you know, we face this dilemma, and we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks as we begin to look at 1 Corinthians. We live in a culture that's increasingly hostile to Christianity. I don't know if you picked that up, but there's just this increasing hostility towards anybody who calls themselves a Christian. And the question is, how do you respond to that? You know, it used to be the day that I remember going to high school, and this was quite a while ago, but the teacher said, one day he opened the Education Act of Ontario, and he said, look at this. It says the purpose of the public school education is to teach Judeo-Christian values to students. And even then, I couldn't believe it because they were not doing that. But I remember thinking, wow, the laws actually state that this is the purpose of the education system of the province of Ontario. If you fast forward to today, I think it's actually, and I'm not, by the way, I'm not longing for the good old days. Don't mistake me. Those days are gone. I don't want them back. But if you fast forward to today, we do not live in that society anymore. There's increasing ambivalence or even hostility to those of us who are Christians. And the question that I want to pose to you is this: how do we respond to that? Do we dig in our heels and say, hey, we are the resistance. We're going to stand up for our rights and picket. We're going to take a stand and nobody's going to push us to go their way. Or do we blend in and assimilate? maybe we go to church on a Sunday, but the rest of the week we just sort of squeeze in and be like everybody else. You know, that really has been the two major ways throughout history that Christians have responded. One has been to fight, and the other one has been to blend in and lose our faith. How do we respond in this climate? Unless you, just so that you don't think this is a new dilemma, Augustine, centuries ago, wrote about the city of God and the city of man. And what he postulated is, this is basically the way it's always been ever since the book of Genesis. There is a city of man where the values of humanity reign supreme, and there's a city of God, and they've always been in conflict. As long as history's existed, this is why I don't long for the good old days, they weren't that good. As long as history's existed, all the way to Genesis 3, there's been this clash. And so this is nothing new. If we went back 40 years, it wouldn't be any better. There's always been this clash. And the question is, how do we respond? And the reason I'm asking this today is because I think this is so important for us at Liberty Grace Church. For 8 years, we've been wrestling through this. How do we interact with the community around us? How do we live as Christians in a community where being a Christian is just sort of weird? What posture do we take to the world around us? I don't know if you were coming yesterday to the Evangelism Day, but like, man, does that ever force it to you? How do you go out into the community and begin to have spiritual conversations with people as being one of those people? Jeremiah gives us some good advice. And so in this passage, we're going to look at three insights that this passage gives us that are really going to help us answer this question. And here's what Jeremiah says in this passage, how to live in a hostile culture. First, he says, settle in, even though you're in the city of man. Settle in, even though you are in the city of man. Remember I said, Augustine said, there's this classic, you know, that we want to live in the city of God, but we live in the city of man. We live in this world of hostility against God and everything God stands for. And what Jeremiah says in this passage is, don't dig in and fight. Don't settle in and blend in. Instead, just settle in, even though you live there in the city of man. Verses 4-6. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Notice by that, by the way, who sent them into exile? God sent them into exile. And listen to what God says, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters, multiply there and do not decrease. And what he's saying there is, look, you know where you are right now? You are not there by accident. God has placed you there. You live in your zip code for a reason. God has placed you there. Settle in. Put down roots. Engage in ordinary life. And just settle in where you live. When Char and I go on holiday, it's always interesting. I've been married now for decades to Char, so I know how it's going to work. We're staying overnight. We'll go into a hotel room and we'll look, kind of look around, and it'll be like, you know what, this will do. And we just sort of open our suitcases and we sleep out of them, you know, taking what we need. We don't unpack because you're only there for one night, right? If we're there for a week, I know now what Char's going to do, and I'm glad she does it, is, you know, all those little binders they leave all over the place and all these little plastic signs all over the place telling you, you know, do not smoke and, you know, here's our restaurant and everything. She scoops all of them up. She finds a drawer that we're not going to use. She shoves them in there. And because, you know, we're there for a week, we unpack our suitcases, we put things away. But we've never stayed in a hotel long enough that Charles stood there and looked at the wallpaper and said, you know what? I don't not like this wallpaper. Let's go out and get some new wallpaper and, you know, let's rip this off. I can't live here with this wallpaper. You know, there's a difference, isn't there, between whether you're just visiting a place or whether you're staying in a place. And what Jeremiah says to these guys is like, look, God has put you in exile. You are here by his design. It is not a mistake. Don't live out of your suitcase. Unpack your suitcases. Begin to live ordinary life. You are here for a reason. I think what made it even more confusing is verses 8 and 9 tell us there were some false prophets that said, hey, you're only here temporarily. In verses 8 and 9, there were some that were saying, you know, you're not going to be here very long. And Jeremiah says, they're dead wrong. God has got you here, and it's going to be 70 years. And do not just think you can put your life on hold for 70 years. Actually begin to live here. Actually settle in and actually make this your home. If you want to apply this to today, I think, what does this mean for us? God has put us in our community, and he's put this church in this community for a reason. And although it's easy to withdraw or kind of keep separate, God says basically, hey, settle in, go conduct your ordinary life. I've put you here for a reason. Live your ordinary lives in the culture, even if it's hostile to you. Live your ordinary lives in this culture. Where actually one of you live in Etobicoke, there's a number of condos at the bottom of Park Lawn Road. I heard of a couple of Christian women who moved in there. And one was from down east, and she'd moved to Toronto. And the Toronto was completely different for her. She, you know, she'd always lived in a place where she could open the door and go outside. And all of a sudden, she just lived in this condo. Well, a friend of hers, another believer, moved into the same condo right on the same floor. And they got together one day and they said, what if God has put us in this community? And what if we're supposed to actually settle in? What if we're not here by accident, but God has put us here strategically to love the people around us? And they began to talk what that might look like. And they decided, you know what we're going to do is we're just going to open our doors to our neighbors and invite them over. And they did. They write, nothing was off topic. Basically, they said, the only rule that we have in this gathering is A, everybody is welcome, and B, no topic is off limits. And so whether it was politics or religion or weight loss programs, they just said, everything's on the table and everybody's welcome. At first, it didn't really look like people were showing up. At first, it really looked like, man, it just wasn't going to, you know, nothing was going to come out of it. But they kept at it. And over time, more and more people came. They write commitment and consistency, an abundance of food and drink, an open door and plenty of prayer. All these things helped to transform a group of strangers into a community. I love hearing the stories. I love hearing the story of the gay man who came, who didn't even believe that Jesus was a historic figure. And it was weird because it was like, I'm not asking if you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but do you believe that Jesus even existed? And he just says, no, I don't believe that. They said, you are welcome here. There was a socially awkward person that always seemed to stick her foot in her mouth. You are welcome here. And I love the stories where they just said, what if God has actually put us here for a reason? They decided to love their neighbors. And I want to look at you and say, what if God has strategically placed you where you live right now? And what if God is asking you to live your ordinary life, to inhabit the place, to really live where you live, to begin to be salt and light exactly where God has placed you? What if you settled in and just said, God has put me here because he wants me to love the neighbors that he's given me, believing that God has you there for a reason? What if we took Jesus' command to love our neighbors seriously? Or what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Friends, that's what God said to the people who were carted off into enemy territory, carried off thousands of miles to the very people who destroyed their homes. What if God could be saying the same thing to us where we live? Settle in, make this your home, really live, believe that God has strategically placed you here. Well, that's the first thing that God said to these people. But here's the second thing in verse 7. Not only settle in, but in verse 7, he says, seek their blessing. In verse 7, he says this, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Again, picture this. These were the people who had killed their families. These were the people that had burned down the temple. These were the people that had carted them off with, you know, under threat of death, thousands of miles away. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. I love the word here, welfare. It means nothing like what we think it means. I think one translation translates it peace. Welfare, even peace, seems like such a weak word. Christopher Wright says it's actually a wonderfully broad word. It goes beyond peace and actually describes the absence of, far beyond the absence of conflict or the absence of war, and actually means just an overall sense of well-being. It speaks of a kind of flourishing, of a kind of prospering that the Old Testament included as the blessing of God, as the fruit of covenant faithfulness. And so if you can picture these people, they would have been, as Jeremiah said these words, they would have been said, are you crazy? God promised us peace. He promised us like a way of flourishing, as a way of, as something we would experience when we obeyed God. And now you're asking us to pray for our enemy, that they would experience this flourishing. The very people who wanted to destroy us, who carted us here, who want us to become one of them, you're asking us to seek their welfare. How in the world? And here's what the Bible teaches. The more we feel opposition from the world around us, the less at home we feel, the more important this command is for each of us to seek the blessing of the people around us. Do not assimilate. Do not fight the culture. Do not assimilate to the culture. Do not fight the culture. Bless the culture. As Christopher Wright continues to say, the people of God exist in the world to bring the blessing of God, the presence of God, the power of God into the public arena, even in the heart of enemy territory. You know what this means is, why has God placed you where he's placed you? Why do you live in the street where you live? God has put you there as a way to bless the people who live around you. You know, why has God placed you in the school where you attend or the place where you work? Well, God wants to bless those people. And he strategically placed you and me in those places as a way to bless everybody around us. And here's the thing. How many of the people around us deserve God's blessing? And some of them aren't bad, right? But is there anybody in your life where you're like, I don't think that person really deserves God's blessing? God has put you there to bless them. And I want to go even further. Today's our 8th anniversary. Why has God placed us in Liberty Village? God wants to bless Liberty Village. I love what Phil Ryken says. God hereby commands Christians to do anything and everything to further the public good. Seeking the peace of the city means being a good neighbor, And it means, I love his ideas, shoveling the sidewalk. It means cleaning the street. It means planting a tree. It means feeding the poor. It means volunteering at the local school. It means greeting people at the store. It means driving safely and helping people with car trouble. It means shutting down immoral businesses. It means embracing people from every ethnic background with the love of Christ. What if we as a church just embodied this vision that God has put us here not to blend into culture, not to fight the culture, but what if we just said, we are here to bless Liberty Village as much as possible? And what if people said to us, there's just something really different about you. When I'm with you, I feel loved. I just feel like there's something special about you. I feel better when I'm with you. That is what God calls us to do. Settle in and seek the blessing of the community where God has placed you. Friends, I hope that you'll join me in praying for this community. I hope that you, with me, will pray for your neighbors. I hope that you will do awkward things, really awkward things with me, and just say, like, man, I'm going to be okay with awkward. Like, I am going to knock on my neighbor's door, which nobody does in Liberty Village. I'm going to knock on their door and just say, hey, I live across the road, the hallway from you. I've seen you. I don't know your name. I just want to introduce myself and tell you, if you ever need anything, I'm here. I'm your neighbor. You know, what if we just determined, and I'm preaching this. I don't think anybody needs to hear this more than me. What if we actually purposefully went to the line at Metro where there's a person, and instead of scanning ourselves out at the self-checkout, what if we actually went and made it our agenda to make the cashier's day? What if we just settled in and just said, God has put us here to bless the people of Liberty Village? We just look for ways not to fight, not to blend in, but to bless, to try to make this community a better place. And by the way, I don't think that there's any better way to bless the people of this community than, you know, what we actually talk about on our shirts, right? To build community, to invite people into community, and then to elevate Jesus. One of the best ways we can bless the community around us is to look for opportunities to share the hope that we have, you know, to look for ways. I don't think we should just be Boy Scouts, you know, do-gooders in this community. We need to be looking for ways to actually share the hope that we have in Jesus with the people around us, for people to see the reality of his love in our lives. Settle in and seek the blessing of the people around us. You know, the last thing that Jeremiah says here, as you do so, it's going to be hard. And so in verses 10 to 14, he says, trust God and his purposes. In verses 10 to 14, it's almost like God saying to them, look, I know living in a hostile culture is going to be hard. And so the last thing I'm going to tell you, besides settling in and seeking the blessing, is I want you to trust that I've got you there. I want you to trust my purposes for your life, because it's going to be really, really hard. Read verses 10 to 14 with me. Thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon. So just pause there for a minute. Imagine if you were one of these people carted off into exile, and you're like, how long is this going to be? And Jeremiah comes and says, 70 years. How well would you and I do if it's like, man, in 70 years, maybe something good's going to happen. But for the next 7 decades of my life, this is going to be like, I'm just going to be living in a place that I hate. Well, God says, yeah, that's exactly what I've told you is going to happen. But then he says, but when 70 years are completed, I will visit you. And I will fulfill to you my promise to bring you back to this place. What he's saying is, yeah, there will be a day. It's going to be a long time. You're going to actually return. They did, by the way. 70 years later, they returned. But in verse 11, listen to what God says to these people who are experiencing this hardship. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I bet some of you have memorized that verse. I bet some of you maybe even have a coffee mug or a cross stitch with that verse. I've heard this verse used in all kinds of crazy ways. I hear people say, you know, like, man, COVID's been so hard, but I know the plans that God has for me. You know, God really wants me to go to Hawaii. He wants me to have a future and hope. So I'm just going to claim this promise that God is going to let me go to Hawaii despite COVID. That is not what this verse is saying. This verse is not promising that you're going to experience, you know, a bigger condo or get a nicer car or get that promotion at work. What has God promised? What is God promising here? It's going to be hard for 70 years, but never think that it's not because I don't love you. Never think it's because I don't have a future for you. It's going to be hard, but I know the plans I have for you. And even when you look around and circumstances look hard, never think that I've abandoned you. God says after 70 years, in verse 12, then he will call upon me and come to pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from the nations and the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back into the place from which I sent you into exile. What God is saying to these exiles is, man, it's going to be hard for a long time. What he would say to you is, man, it's going to be hard for some of you to live in Canada right now. There's been easier places. There might be easier places to live. For some of you, it's going to be, you know, some of you are going to experience hardship because you're following me. I don't think we can really claim that we've experienced a lot of persecution yet, but the time may come in Canada where we do experience real persecution. And when we do, this is what God says to us. Don't think I've abandoned you. Your future is still secure. I will lead you. I have not abandoned you. One day you will escape all this hardship. You will experience home like it was meant to be. But until then, dig in even when it's hard. I have not abandoned you. Keep being faithful. Keep serving me. Keep loving your neighbor. Keep bearing witness to me because I've got you there for a reason. I am so grateful for this church. I really am. I think back over the 8 years, there's been a lot of ups and downs. But I was thinking today as I prepared to worship, I am so glad God has put us in this community, a community with no other churches. Like, guys, we're it in this community. And not only that, I am so grateful that God has given us amazing people in this church. We're not a big church, but what we lack in size, we more than make up for by the quality of people that God has given us. I am so grateful for each of you, and I am grateful for this church. What I want to say to us is for 8 years, and God willing, another 50 years, God has given us something to do in this community. He hasn't put us here to fight the community. He hasn't put us here to blend into the community. As I said, next week, we're going to start to look at 1 Corinthians. I would say to the extent that we actually blend into the community is the extent to which we lose our effectiveness in the community. We're meant to be distinct. People should look at us and say, there's something different about these people. But guys, what if we just said, we're not going to fight, we're not going to blend in, we're going to bless. We're just going to be the most loving people possible. We're going to love people because God has loved us that way. And what if even when it got hard, even when we want to leave, even when we want to flee, we just said, okay, it's hard, but we're here because God has put us here for a reason. And we're going to dig in. We're not going to stop blessing this community. We're not going to stop loving even the people that hate us. Friends, what if that's why God called Liberty Grace into existence 8 years ago? And what if that is what God is calling us to do? Are you in? I'm in. There's no other way I'd rather spend my life. And Father, thank you so much for this message from Jeremiah. Lord, we live in a hostile culture. We look around us, we see all kinds of different responses. We see people assimilating to the culture. Lord, we see Christians just blending in and really becoming indistinguishable from the culture. And then, Lord, we look around and we see angry Christians fighting. I just want to say, I want nothing to do with either response. I don't want to blend in, and I don't want to fight the culture. Lord, what I want to do is what you said through Jeremiah to do. I want to bless the people around us. Lord, you put us here for a reason. I thank you for the church that you've given us. Father, I thank you for each person who's part of this church. My desire, Lord, is that you would accomplish your purposes through us, and that one day you would lead us safely home. But Lord, I pray in the coming year, our ninth year of operation, as COVID, God willing, begins to lift, help us to just relentlessly seek to bless our community. I pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who loves people better than we could possibly love them. In his name, we pray. Amen.